Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's something about a snowy day which I find oddly energizing and calming. Understood, of course, being on the inside looking out. It's a different matter to be in the midst of it and having to deal with it. But for me, it could be simply the concept of a change from routine, the certain cancellations that always follow snow. I was supposed to be working on a major money sermon for today, but we decided to save it for another day because only the hardy make it to church when it snowed. There's a calm, and that must have something to do with the silence you hear during the first snow of winter. How striking it is. The snow is serene to the eye, but that quiet brings peace to the heart. I want to speak to you today about silence and about speaking. St. John today, the roaring lion in the wilderness, has nothing to say to his own disciples who are all upset and agitated, arguing amongst themselves about that newcomer, Jesus, John's cousin, who is taking all of the people away from the Baptists. They're discontented. And John says nothing. But he sends them to our Lord with a question. And that's all. And that's enough. Our Lord answers in just a few brief words. His is really a scriptural kind of an apology, almost poetry in the English. It scans well. Go and relate to John what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise again, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he that shall not be scandalized in me. And that's all. This puts me in mind of yesterday's saint who never wanted people to be scandalized in him and always opted for the silence. And then the saint that we had the day before, Saint Peter Chrysologus. He was a saint of such wonderful speech that they nicknamed him Golden Word. And his words were golden. They say, preachers take note, his sermons were short, 170 have come down to us, and they're all remarkably brief, scriptural, and very, very sincere. He urged frequent communion. He was a bishop in Ravenna, which was the capital of Imperial Italy in the 5th century. He's famously quoted for saying, he who jokes around with the devil cannot rejoice with Christ. But his sermons were so enthusiastic. He was so on fire, and he preached so fervently, so forcefully, that sometimes his voice failed him. He'd open up his mouth, and nothing would come out. Imagine the scene, the bishop in the pulpit and the people standing in some big cathedral. They didn't have pews back then. And instead of, well, let's get on with the mass, time for the creed, the people were upset. They wanted their sermon. Some prayed silently for the bishop to recover his voice, and others with tears and loud sighs. And St. Peter gave thanks to God that there was more fruit to be gained from his silence than from his speech. Today, Saint Sabbath is most of all a saint of silence. He is symbolized by an apple, this Palestinian abbot who lived about maybe 70, 80 years after Peter Chrysologus in the Middle East. Because once he was tempted outside of mealtimes to eat an apple, and he made a vow that he would never touch another apple again. Advent, abstinence. Did you ever read when you were little, or lucky you have read to you, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas? Do you remember the premise of The Grinch? He hated people who were happy and celebrating, and most of all, he couldn't bear noise, 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 noise. Most of us lead lives which are full of noise. And that we do by custom and by culture, as well as by our own choice. When we go into a room, the first thing we do is to turn on something or another. And how many people are there, thanks to the tweeters and the Facebook and the rest, who never have a thought anymore, God help us, without it being sent out to everyone else? Our days and our nights are filled with noise, and sometimes even church can seem a noisy place. I remember speaking with Rita Brueggemann after the church was dedicated 7 years ago. Now, Rita had a hearing aid, and sometimes the great acoustic of this new church makes the sound sort of bounce off the walls. But that was her first reaction to the new church. She said, "Noise. That's all I hear is noise." We're always working on the speakers and the PA system and the rest to get the right kind of a balance, but it is true. Rita was a daily communicant for years. But it is true that the more often you come to Mass here, the more you will find your fair share of quiet Masses, whether they are high or low. And there's a kind of a silence here, so often, like a snow day. No one of us should end up like a Grinch, not even in the cause of silence. But we all need some of that for our souls. And it is an Advent virtue. St. Sabas loved silence so because he associated it with St. Paul's prayer for us in the epistle. That is to say, peace, joy, and peace in believing. His father was a military man, and his mother accompanied his father, a general, off to the wars. And so his father put him with his mother's sister and her husband named Hermias. The sister, though, the aunt, was a bit of a shrew, and she was mean to the boy. And after a while, you know how boys are, he couldn't take it anymore, and he upped and left. There are a lot of saints, if you think of it, I'm not recommending it, but it is a fact, who ran away from home. And he ran away to Uncle Gregory's house, his father's brother, and he got along very well with his uncle and his aunt on that side of the family. But then it occurred to Uncle Greg that he was feeding the boy, and Hermias was still getting, his brother-in-law, was still getting all the money from the estate that had been set aside for monthly payments. And so they fell to fighting, and eventually the lawyers got involved, of course, and it went to court. And then once that happened, well, then it dragged on for years. And at some point, Sabas just checked out. There was a monastery 3 miles from town. This took place in Turkey. And he went to see the abbot. "Would you mind if I stayed here? My uncles are fighting terribly, and so are my aunts." "Well, of course," the abbot said, "you'd be very happy to, my boy." And he earned a nickname for himself, and his nickname was the Young Old Man, because he was so wise in his ways, in the ways of the Spirit. Eventually, the case got settled, or there was some kind of an agreement made, and the uncles went out to the monastery one day now Sabbas was a teenager near marrying age, and they were very sorry for all the trouble, and look, here's some money, and we'll arrange for you to get a bride. No, thank you, he said. I found God here in the silence of this monastery, and I'm quite happy. Well, the years passed. He went down to Palestine and then to Egypt, and some point was sent into the city Alexandria to sell the baskets which monks used to weave during the week, and he came across his parents. Curiously enough, one of his parents' first gestures was to want to give him money, and he said, no thanks, I'm fine, I've got a vow now of poverty, but I'll take 3 pieces of gold, if you really insist, and I'll give them to the Father Abbot, but that's all. And for the rest, I'm fine. Don't worry about me, it's very quiet in my monastery. At some point, it stopped being quiet, though, in his monastery. It seemed some young monks joined, and don't you know, they knew better than the old abbot how things should be run. And between this and that, there was a conflict created, and then a split, and an awful lot of talking. And St. Sabbas left. He used to say, fight the devil, but it is better to cede to men for the sake of peace. Well, at this point, he needed a place to stay, and he went out into the desert of Egypt, and he found himself a cave. And he said his night prayers and went to sleep in the cave, but as it turned out, the cave was actually the lair of a lion. And the lion came back in the middle of the night, and he found his cave occupied, and he was not happy. He was an unhappy lion. And so he proceeded to take the hem of the robe of the monk and to sort of start to drag him out. Well, at that point, Sabbas awakened, and without being the least frightened of the lion, he started to say his matins. The vigil prayer for midnight, and they say he chanted the psalms in a very slow, luxurious fashion, deliberately, to get on the lion's nerves. The lion, meanwhile, had left the cave and was sort of pacing back and forth outside, waiting for him to get his lair back again. And he came in when Sabbas finished his midnight prayer, and Sabbas had stretched out all the way in the cave, and this didn't please the lion either. And so he proceeded a second time to attempt to drag the old man out of his cave. And at this point, St. Sabbas opened his eyes and he said to him, now look here, lion, this is a nice big cave and there's room for the both of us without a problem. But if you have a problem with me, don't expect me to give way to you because I'm a man and you're a beast and I'm made in the image and likeness of God. The lion took that in and he left. And Sabbas went back to his peace and his quiet. Peace and quiet. Do you have any of it in your life? Some of you may roll your eyes at this point or look around at all the little ones and say, how could I ever? But it's an Advent virtue. It's a necessary thing if ever we are to get to Christmas grace. Without leaving, without running away, or displacing a lion from its lair, look for some, because when you find it, you'll find healing and a balm for your soul in that silence. I read recently in the paper of what's known as mom caves, how some mothers with a very, very busy household find some little nook or cranny for themselves, and they fix it all up, and it's understood you're not allowed to go in and bother mom there. She's in the mom cave. We all need a little cave someplace at times. Whether or not there's a lion there is another question. These snowy days of Advent invite us to silence. The poet Robert Browning's prayer, silent silver lights and dark sun dreamed of, hush and bless you with silence. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.